Amen. We always need to obey Him. And when the Spirit says go, you go. You don't question, you know, like children do sometimes. Why? Thank you. Musicians, thank you for your service. It's nice to be here tonight. It's always nice to be here. You know, it doesn't matter if you can see me or not. At least we're here, right?
Nice to see you there.
Yes, if you can see me, that means I'm not gone yet. Thank you. It's been a long journey, I mean, yes. But we're getting there.
Amen.
We're going to trust God for the rest.
Amen.
And that's it. He said that He is our healer.
Amen.
So we trust on Him, we depend on Him. And let Him do His work. God is perfect. So we don't look at the circumstances. We don't look at the situation. We just look at His word. Like Abraham did. I better not get in my sermon. Anyway, let us read. Let me see. Let me see if I can get this out of the way. Let us go to James chapter 2. And we're going to read from 14 to 26. Verses. Are you happy tonight?
Amen.
Yes, there's no other place that I'd rather be but here tonight.
Amen.
My wife asked me this week, are you happy? And I said, what does it matter after 50 years if we're happy or not? What mattered was the promise that I made to you. And what mattered was the promise that you make me. You know, we don't go by feeling. Feelings are fickle. Today it's good, tomorrow it's bad, and the next day it's terrible. But I'm still love my wife and she loves me. It doesn't matter. You know? Yeah. I'm happy that I married her. But you know what? Life is life, you know? We don't go by feelings. Feelings are good, I mean, but we don't go by feelings. So, but are you happy to be here?
Amen.
Good. Amen. So, James 14 says, what doth it profit, my brethren? So the man said that he has faith and he has no works. Can faith save him? You know, Brother Doug, in the morning he started talking about faith, you know. Right at the end, he said, faith without work is dead. And I said, don't go there. Please don't go there. That's my message. He didn't go too far. He kind of introduced it. And then at 9, he read a quote, and it mentioned, you know, faith and work. And I said, well, you know what? God knows what he's doing. You know, he put this in my heart, and maybe just to expand a little bit on something that he already brought in. So, because he didn't expand on it, but, you know, God put this in my heart, and I think it's going to do us some good. Because if it's God, it has to do some good, right? Amen. So, if a brother or sister be naked and destitute of daily food, and one of you said unto them, depart in peace, be ye warm and filled, notwithstanding you give them not those things which they are needful for their body, what does it profit? To be a Christian and profess to be a Christian and have the Holy Ghost and believe this message and somebody needs a glass of water and say, you know, God bless you. Well, I pray for you. You know, it's just not the way a Christian should act. He's saying. He says, even so faith, it has not worked, it's dead. Being alone. So, yeah, a man said that has faith and I have works. Show me thy faith without thy work and I will show thee my faith by my works. You believe that there is one God that does well. The devil also believes and trembles. I mean, at least the devil knows that there is a God. And he acts upon that. He trembles. At least he's in the run all the time, you know, because he knows God is real. So, but will thou now O vain man, that faith without work is dead. Was not Abraham our father justified by works when he had offered Isaac his son upon the altar? Seest thou how faith wrought with his work? In another way, faith and work together. You know? And by works was faith made perfect. Now, we're going to talk about that later on, but by works, faith was made perfect. And the scripture was fulfilled, which said, Abraham believed God, and he was imputed unto him for righteousness, and he was called the friend of God. Now, you see, then, how that by works a man is justified and not by faith only. Likewise, also, Rahab, the harlot, justified by works, when she had received the messengers and has sent them out another way. See? For as the body without the spirit is dead, so faith without works is dead also. You know, your spirit, it is you. That's who you are. And whatever you believe is what you do. But if you won't have no spirit, you'll be dead. Because the body cannot work without the spirit. That's your conscience. That's your mind. That's your imagination. Everything that you believe, everything is in there. That's who you are. And that expresses through a body. But somebody that don't have a spirit, there's nothing to express. There's nothing to act. So James is saying the same thing. If you have faith, but you are not acting upon that faith, then it's dead. So that means it's producing nothing. You're not growing. We are not maturing. We're not helping. You know, it's just completely, we come to church, but it's just dead. It's not profiting you anything. So now, let us have a word of prayer. Father, we thank you once again for this opportunity. Father, to bring your word to your children. Father, you know what they have need of. Father, I just ask you to give me an unction, Father. I will set aside this flesh and let you have your way. Take over. Father, speak to me. Use this body, Father, because it is you that we want to hear you, Father. It is you that we came to listen, and it is you, Father, that we have need of tonight. So just, Father, come, Father, and not only me, for the hearers also, Father. Give me an unction, Father, to hear this word, Father, and put it to work in their life, Father. Give them faith, Father. Father, we thank you and we appreciate, and we are asking you to be with Brother Doug and Sister Jennifer, Father. Father, use him in a mighty way, Father, that the purpose that you call him to go to Korea, it will be fulfilled in his life, Father. Use him mightily, Father, and bring him back home safe. Keep them, Father. Protect them, Father. Cover them from the evil one, Father. Father, we love you and we thank you. And we sure appreciate this opportunity, Father. We are not taking it for granted. We came because we love you, Lord, and we want to hear from you. In Jesus' name, we ask you these things. Amen. You can be seated. Then faith without work is dead. Amen. That's just basically what James is saying. Okay? And we can say, oh, I believe it. Oh, I believe this message. But if we don't make any action or we don't make any act, you know, it don't profit nobody anything, not even the person that is saying, just like this message. We said, I believe this message. But they don't make an act on this message. So what good does it do? So, you know, one of the things that we are always, you know, just going over and over. I know people get tired sometimes. But I know that you believe what the Bible says. You know, you have faith to believe that the Bible says, do not forsake your assembly, because even when the last days are coming, do not forsake it. Well, if you tell me you believe that, you have to act upon that. Right. You cannot tell me that you believe in something and don't do it. Because he don't profit you or the person that is doing it, nothing. I mean, it's not that I am in any problem with that, but it's just a person that is professing. And if you profess anything that you profess in this message, you must put some, you know, leg to it. You cannot profess to be something. We cannot profess to be something and do nothing about it. Amen? Because at the end, we saw it. it shows maturity and also help you to be perfect. Amen. We're going to get there. Now, Hebrew, let's see about faith. We know that the definition of faith. Hebrew 11, 1, 3 says, now faith is the substance of things hoped for. See? That what I hope for, I know that will happen.
Right.
See? That's the substance. That's an assurance that I have that whatever I believe, I know God will be able.
Amen.
It's more than able to bring it to pass. That's what my faith says. See? But it's also the evidence of things not seen. You know, sometimes we argue about the evidence of the Holy Ghost. Well, actually, some people said he's speaking in tongues. Some people say, you know, Yahweh witness said it's work, you know. And the more work they do, you know, the more they have it. But really, there's no one evidence. We cannot say it's speaking in tongues. That is far over, and this is far over, and everything is far over. So, but in here, James say that the evidence of things that I'm hoping for that actually will come true is faith. So we have an evidence that if you have faith, there's an evidence. Okay? So you say you're sick, but you believe in God, that God is your healer. The evidence that you have the faith is that you get healed. That's how simple it is. But we have to act upon that. We cannot just believe it and say, well, God will take care of it. No, we have to act upon that. Through their faith, people in days of old earn good reputation. Amen? But faith, we understand that the entire universe was formed of God's command. See, God spoke, God believed, and it was so. That's how easy it is. Now, he didn't do the work. He said that the Spirit went forward, brewing, you know, through the waters and everything. And everything that he spoke, it was the Holy Spirit or the Spirit of God that went out. You know, I made it what? But he believed in it. He believed and he spoke. So faith will produce a work. Not you. We're going to get into that one because sometimes we think we have to do something. You have to do nothing. Faith in you will produce a work. God spoke and he produced a work.
Amen.
Amen. So those, I'm trying to set up, you know, the platform so we can get going. So faith will produce action. Action don't mean that you have faith, but faith will produce action. Amen. Through the word that you believe and you profess, it will be produced. Now, if something comes out contrary to what you believe, then there's something wrong. There's not true faith. If we believe something and something has happened that is contrary to what I believe, then that's not true faith and that's not true anything. Because it don't profit you anything. It just nothing happened. So, faith. So, therefore, true faith, you know, comes with true work, both of them at the same time. Because what man believes is actually what he does. Period. I mean, you cannot tell me, you don't do nothing that you don't believe on. But what you believe, you do. So if we believe in the message, we should do it all. Because the message came to bring us faith, right? A faith of rapture. So if we are saying that we believe this message and we have faith, then it has to produce something. We need to grow. We need to mature. See? We cannot be the same person coming and coming and coming. And what is faith producing? All the preaching, all the word that go forward. You know, it should create faith. So put you to work. God will put you to work. See? So therefore, true action is ever the outcome of true faith. Always. So let's look at Titus 2:21. Because sometimes I want to show you what work is. It's actually work, perfect work. Not just what we think, you know, well, if I go to church and if I fed my tithing, that's something that we have to do. Had nothing to do with work. But if we have faith that is what God requires, it produces the work. See? So if a man therefore purge or purify himself from these things, now we have to kind of go a few verses before, he shall be a vessel unto honor. So you will be in a special utensil, you know. You will be honorable for use. So sanctify, you know, living a clean life. And meet and be ready for the what? For the master's use. So it's not you trying to do something. It is that what we have to do is just keep our life pure, be sanctified, be holy, do the things that we know what are to do, that we have faith on it, and God will produce the rest. God will use you, see? Because he already called you with a purpose. You have a purpose. And God is going to fulfill that purpose that in your life. So it doesn't matter. We have different gifts and different things that we do. We not all do the same. But God has a purpose for each one of us. He says, sanctify, clean life, and ready for the master use, and prepare unto everyone good work. So God is preparing you. God is shaping you. God is molding you so he can use you for some work. Okay? Now, Titus was young. He was a young preacher, so at that age, you know, there's a lot of lust and sexual, you know, passions and, you know, for young people. You know, the devil will try everything to lure them. So Paul is telling him, you stay pure, stay sanctified, you know. Don't run after this, don't run after that, don't try to be smart, don't try to be intellectual. Just be, you know, what God wants you to be. Just do what God wants you to be, and God will take care of the rest. See? Now, Brother Branham told us that three things that a preacher, you know, encounters is money, women, and popularity. So if that's what people are looking for, I don't know. But the thing is, faith will not produce that. In fact, faith will keep you away from that. Because if you believe that faith will, God will keep you away from those three things as a preacher. And Titus, I mean, that's what Paul is saying, is stay from all, abstain yourself from all these things so God can use you. And the same thing with minister. We have to abstain ourselves with a lot. In fact, you probably can't get away with something that I cannot get away with. Oh, Brother Doug, right. You know, Brother Branham said it. In my position, in my office, you know, up here, you know, everything that I see is seen. So, you know, he could not get away with any. I mean, you cannot get away with anything, actually. But sometimes, you know, what I'm saying is different offices require a little bit more control, more attention, you know. We cannot live loose lives, ministers. We need to be careful, you know, what we do, because everybody's always looking, and Satan is trying to destroy the captain, the lieutenant, so the ship can scatter, right? So just Paul giving an advice to Titus to make sure, do what's right, and God will take out the rest. Now, in Hebrews 6:1 says, therefore, leaving the principle of the doctrine of Christ, you know, basic teachings. You know, people still fighting about basic teaching, you know. Are we baptized forward or backwards or three times this way? You know, let's argue about basic things. We should be beyond all this stuff. It says, let us go unto what? Unto perfection, maturity. Let us grow up. I mean, I know children are children, but once the children grow up, it's 40 years old. It's, you know, it's hard to put up with a 40-year-old child, but it should not be. Therefore, leaving the principle of the doctrine of Christ, let us go unto perfection, mature, you know, in understanding, see? Not laying again the foundation of repentance from dead works and of faith towards God. You know, going back, you know, like, you know, today I'm saved, tomorrow I'm not saved. Or repenting and asking God to save you again, you don't need to. You know, when God forgave you for your sin, he forgave you for your sin today, tomorrow, and in the future, and yesterday. So if you do something wrong, all you have to say, I'm sorry, Lord, and repent to God. But you don't have to be saved again. You know, Catholics, they like to do a lot of penances. Every time they do something wrong, they have to do... You don't have to save yourself every time you do something wrong. You don't have to be saved, you know. Mercy and grace, you know. God has mercy and grace. So he's saying the same thing, you know. And the Jewish people, they had a lot of cleansing rituals, you know.
Right.
Everything they did, you cannot, you know, do this or that. Or, you know, you have to not walk and it's a dead person, you know. Or women's, you know, in their time of the month, they're unclean. I mean, they have so many things. And now they're converted to Christianity. And they are trying to, you know, dead works. The Bible says repent from dead works. That's no longer. We are in different dispensation. Now, Matthew 5:16 says, let your light, light means your good deeds, so shine before men that they may see your good works. Okay? The light of the gospel, you know, what you believe, you should, which should be, you know, epistle written by a man. See, let shine before man that they may see your good work. For what reason? So, we glorify God. Everything that we do, if we have faith and we are following the message and we are being obedient, everything should glorify everything that we do. Contrary to that, it wasn't through faith. It was something that we wanted to do, you know. It says, so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. One more, Ephesians 2:10. For we are his what? Workmanship. Masterpiece. We are a piece of the masterpiece. Created in Christ Jesus. Yeah, we are a new creation now. The old one is gone. Now we are a new creation. To what? Unto what? Unto good works. Which God has before ordained. See, it's already been ordained what you're going to do. God has a purpose for each one of you. And the only way it's going to be done is that we have the faith to believe, you know, that what God called us to do, he's going to do. Don't ask me what it is. I didn't know I was going to be preaching in this message. I was there with the Baptist for a while, and before that, I was in the world. I didn't know what God's purpose was for me. Now I know. But see, I would never even figure it out if I tried to, well, in 20 years from now, I think I'm going to be a preacher. You know, that don't work that way. But once you start coming to the Lord and you're having faith in the Word, then God will start leading you. See? So it says, creating Christ Jesus unto good work, which God has before ordained that we should walk in them. So we can do the good things that he planned for us. God has a plan for you. God has a plan for me. And he wants to bring that plan to fruition. Period. You know? And sometimes we like to figure out, well, you know, I like to do this or I like to do that. You know, you don't have to figure out anything. You have to be obedient to the word. Have faith in God, and let God produce the work in you. You know, if you have a gift, you don't have to worry about it. God knows where to place you. God gave you the gift, and he knows what he wants to do with that gift. See? I didn't even know I have gift. But God, slowly, you know, he started working in our life. He started transforming our life. He started changing us from glory to glory. And as he changed us, you know, our faith in what he's doing in our life has to produce whatever work he already preordained.
Right.
You know? So it's all God.
Amen.
So you don't have to do nothing. You don't have to figure out your life, you know. What am I going to be when I grow up? You didn't even have to figure that out. Because God already has a plan for you. And he wants to. He wants to bring that purpose to fruition in your life. But if we don't listen at the word, like your brother was saying, we don't listen at table, we don't pray, how God is going to Or how are you going to listen and be led to do the things you're not supposed to be doing? I mean, it's good to pray. It's good to read the Bible, you know. And it's good to come to church. Because that's God-ordained way to lead you. To have an office like this here to lead you, to guide you. And as you grow, you start finding your place. Most of people in church sometimes they don't even know I'm here, I know, but Lord, what do you want? What is the purpose? You have me here, you know, what do you want me to do? Mainly the young people, you know, because they don't know yet. All you have to do is just come to church and be faithful because you believe that that is the thing to do. Your faith tells you, you know, you love God and I want to be. But the man says one of these days, those doors, you know, if people are going to be lined up and, you know, to come in. Why? Because that is will be first priority in people's life, is to do God's will anyway. But it's the faith. He says, Brother Branham says, the power of the devil. He says, what good someone give you, my boy, yeah, after this meeting is over, if God willing, we take our vacation, go up into the mountains to hunt. What good did it do to a man to give him a gun if he isn't going to use it? Now, God giving you the most powerful things that anybody has, a human. His word. But what good the word is going to do in your hands if you're not going to use it? What good is the word is going to do if you don't got faith enough to use it for you? He says, so what good it do, you know, if he has a gun, but never, no good unless he uses it. That's the way with your faith. Oh, it is fine faith. You read, you believe, you have experience with God. You believe, yeah, but what good? What good? Faith without work is dead. Put it to work. Don't be slothful, lazy. Get going. So, you know, when this next time the devil tell me, you know, well, should I go to church or should I not go to church? Well, I think I'm just tired today, or I think I had a heart. I mean, if you had to think about it, that's not faith. You just do what the Bible said. And I tell you, if you're tired and you're sick, when you come to church, you will not leave here the same way you came in. If you have the faith.
Amen.
You know, people just lose. Nothing profit them because they just don't understand that God has a principle. So, three things James is talking about here. He says, show it to me. You know, if you have faith, you know, show it to me. He says, this is the evidence of faith, which is required fruits that we make it evident that men have faith. See, you cannot see faith, but I can see your work. I can see your fruit. Don't the Bible say by your fruit you what? You cannot fool anybody.
Amen.
I know what the Bible says. And I know what I need to do. And I'm not going to fool you if I do something that's contrary to the Bible. Eh? That's not fruits. But faith will produce fruits. And you said, well, that is an apple tree. I said, well, I don't see any fruits on it. How do you know it's an apple tree? Oh, because I know. I'm a farmer. I said, but I'm not. How do I know that you're selling me an apple tree? But you take it home and you plant it, and if you don't produce apple, just bring it back. Guarantee. Well, if it's an apple tree, it has to produce what? If you're a Christian, filled with the Holy Ghost, what are you supposed to produce? The character and the nature of God.
Amen.
Should be in display. Period.
Amen.
Nothing else, nothing. But the character of God. But if I produce this fruit, then surely I have not the root. I have the root without which this earth could not be fruits. So, faith, you cannot see it. It don't show. But we can recognize faith. by works. See, I know you have faith because of your work, or your fruits. This is what Brother Jesus said. Beware of false prophets, which come to you in sheep clothing, but inwardly they are ravening wolves. Ye shall know them by what? If you know when a person is not right, had the bad spirit, how can you don't know when a person had the good spirit? I mean, you know when something is evil, so you should know when something is spiritual, when it's the spirit of God. It's that simple. It says, you shall know them by their fruits. Do men gather grapes of thorns or figs on thistles? Even so, every good tree bringeth forth what? Good fruit. So we should be producing the word of God. Every day you come to church, every time you grow, every time you mature, you're supposed to be producing what? The nature of God, the character of God in our life. You know, how long does it take? I don't know. Some people's faith are here, and some up here, you know. So God is working every end. So we have to be patient with young people, with people that just started in the message, because they don't have the faith you have. See? But that's why they come to church. So we should not judge them. We need to just give them some room so God can do a work. You cannot do a work. God has to do the work. And how he do the word? Through the word, by faith in his word. Even so, every good tree brings forth good fruit, but corrupt tree brings what? Evil fruit. We got good trees over here. It's all good trees. So we should be producing good fruits. A good tree cannot bring forth evil fruits. So if God call you and save you and fill you, you cannot bring bad fruit. Now, if you have a bad fruit, that means you made a mistake. Just repent out of it. That's all. You did something and the outcome wasn't what you was looking for, or was different what you wanted. Just repent. You know, and move on. God will correct you. God will forgive you. God will take care of you. See? A good tree cannot bring forth evil fruit, neither can a corrupt tree bring forth good fruit. Every tree that brings not good for good fruit is hung on what? It's dead. It profit nothing to nobody. And you happen to have a tree in the backyard and you're waiting, you know, at the end of the year to get something, and you're already tasting the fruit. I'm going to have all these oranges. And suddenly your tree decided not to put out anything. You just cut it off and throw it in the fire. That's what it's good for. Every tree that brings no fruit, it says, wherefore, by their fruit you shall what? Know them. So, you know, let me just inject this thing in there right away. You know if you're growing or not growing in the Lord. You know if you're moving forward, because you know what fruit you're producing. I don't have to judge you. I'm not here to judge you whether you're doing good. But the way you know you're growing, the way you know you're going towards perfection, the way this journey is set up is that you can grow. But what? You have to judge yourself. You have to examine yourself. Do I'm producing? Is my life producing what God is required for me to produce or not? Is the word is producing in me what God says it will produce? He says, every tree bringing forward, it says, therefore, the fruit bear testimony. Your fruit, my fruit, bear testimony of the character of God. The faith produced that in our life. Brother Branham says in Blind Barnabas, those verses read the same Bible that the apostles read, but they did not have faith to put it into what? So you need faith to put it into what? Practice. So it's not you doing it, it's him doing it. You know, people say this message is too hard. Yes, it is too hard, but I don't have to be trying to make it, you know. God will do it. But if you're trying to do it yourself, it's going to be hard. Sure, it's going to be hard. But this message should produce itself, you know. It says, but they didn't have faith to put it into practice what they read. So no wonder some people, you know, they do or they don't. Why? Because they don't have enough faith. I didn't say that don't have no faith at all, but they don't have enough faith. They are not mature enough to have faith enough to put the word into practice. Amen. Now you cannot say, well, I'm going to go to church and I'm going to tithe and I'm going to do all this. I'm going to put, you know, I'm going to practice all these things that I believe. So then that means you have faith. That's not what I'm saying. Faith will produce those things in you. Because if it's not there, Brother Barnes said, the Pharisees had no faith, so they could not put it into practice. Faith has to be there. Because this is not your work. This is not my work. This is God's work. While it's working in each one of you. Amen. All God wants you is to believe him and he do the rest. Every denomination today reads the same Bible, but what I want to see is somebody got faith enough that will step out and take the word of it. Amen. That's what we need. Somebody to practice what they believe. But you don't have faith, you will not be able to do it. So you can say you have faith and that you believe, but I know how. I see you practicing it. That's all. That is the word. That's how I know, you know, that you have enough faith to put it to practice. Well, it says, but what I want to see somebody that got faith, you know, to step out and take the word of it. Amen. That's what we need. Somebody to practice what they believe. You guys are quiet tonight, but anyway, this is what it is. Everything you do, it show if you're moving in faith or not. Everything you do in your life, I mean, if you're a Christian, it is imperative that we move in that realm of faith. That's why we need somebody to practice what they believe. Faith without work is dead. It went, okay. It says, does not do you any good to have faith if you said, I believe that that's the Bible. Well, if it is the Bible, it is God's promises. And if you believe that that's true, well, the only thing you have to do is to let your faith loose with it.
Amen.
Practice what you believe. And I know you are practicing what you believe. That's why you're here tonight. See? Practice what you believe. Every bit is a seed. Amen. Amen. So, true work is a proof of your faith. Okay? And that will produce the nature of God. Now, Jesus said in John 14:10-12, he says, believe thou not that I am in the Father and the Father is in me? The words that I speak unto you, I speak not of myself. But the Father that dwelleth in me, does the what? The works. So he saw the Father doing the work. By faith, he went and do the same thing. So if you have a revelation, you know, of you reading your Bible or you get an inspiration during preaching and God is revealing you something, then God will do that in your life. That's not you. That's him. He says, the Father that dwells in me, he is the one that do the work. So it's not you. It's not me. It's not the church. You know, too busy. Churches are busy. Denominations, I mean, they got everybody in so many programs. They're busy bodies. You know, because they figure if I'm doing all the work, I must believe. Well, it's not the way it works. It's the other way around. If you have faith, then God will produce the works in your life. And it will be true works. Amen. He said, believe me that I am in the Father and the Father is in me. Or else believe what? The very works sake. So, if you don't believe, you cannot see my faith. But he says, if you don't believe my faith, at least believe my works. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believe on me, the works that I do, shall what? Shall he do also. The work that he did. Now, how he does the work? Because the Father, he said, I see my Father doing, and I do what my Father tells me and do. So he said, you will do the same. If God is in you, you will do the same. Not only the same, but he said, greater thing, works, than this that you shall do. Because I go to my Father. Brother Brown says, the work that I do bear witness of me. And now I want to speak just a moment and just bring your attention to a few words here that Jesus said. The word that I do bear witness of me. The things that I do, what I said, what I bear records, it bear records of me. And what bears records of every person. Do you know? I'd rather leave me a sermon than preach me one. See? We can talk all we want to, but if you cannot produce the life, you know. So it says, I'll be better evidence than you are a Christian. See? Don't talk. Just leave it. Yeah. See? People are always trying to convince you that they have this and they have that, and they know the Bible and they know the message and they know better than you, but who is alive? Listen, what I want is alive. And I know that's what you want. You want the life. You know? And that's why we come to church. And that's why we do what we do. That's why we pray. That's why we read. We're after the life. It says, every evidence that you are a Christian, is it not that right? I leave a sermon, and what we are is what we leave, what we do. Our actions show what we are. Period. And if we say that we have faith and then afraid of stepping out and claim our faith and put it into work, then our faith doesn't do as much good. We all have situations. We all have struggles. I mean, this is not a picnic, you know. How can it be a picnic when you had to, you know, every morning, you know, the Bible will tell you to put the helmet of salvation, to put the, you know, to get your sword. I mean, to put your breastplate and to put your shoes and I mean, that don't sound to me like I'm going to a picnic. Every time you get up in the morning, you better get dressed up, because what? You're going to fight Satan all day long. All day long. It says, our actions show that we are, and if we say we have faith, then are afraid to step out. So you're going to have to step out every morning. You know, Satan is an equal opportunity abuser. You know, I don't care who you are, young, old, he don't care if you're a woman or a man. He abuses you equally. At least he had that good, you know. He treats everybody the same. He don't care. But see, Brother Branham says when Satan comes as a flood, you know, it raises a standard. And every day is a fight. Every day. To take one more step, to claim, you know, like I said, the promised land, every step is possession. Not only coming to church, but at work, you know, at school, wherever you go, you're going to have to fight to put your faith in motion and to practice your faith. Because you are going to be challenged regardless. God has to test you. And God is going to test your faith. Say you come out of church tonight and say, I believe. And then tomorrow I'll tell you what, get your team on, because you're going to fight. Because God is going to allow Satan to come and test you. To see what let me turn it, okay. So, our actions show what we are. And if we said we have faith, then afraid to step out and claim our faith and put it to work, then our faith doesn't do much good. You know, you have family that is not saved. Well, your faith tells you, you know, you can have your family. You and your family shall be saved. So what are you supposed to be professing? What should be your practice? What should be your action? Amen. Oh, man, my family, you know, I've been praying for them and I'm trying, but, you know, the other day he was over there drinking, or he comes over and swearing. That's not confession. It sounds to me like the first, second, and third pool, you know, complaining. You know, when somebody tells you about your family not living a Christian life, you know, what it should be your action? What should be your, what did God says? You know, they are safe. I claim them. And we don't have to complain about it. We don't have to worry about it. And we don't have to dread about anything. Because God said they are mine. And I can have them by my faith. So we practice our faith every day. How? By saying what he said. He is the one who's going to do the work, but we need to do what he promised he's going to do. The work he's showing us that he will do, we need to put it what? Into practice. So claim your family. And when people say, well, your son is not serving the Lord, I said, well, he's safe. He will be. No, I'm claiming it right now. Amen. Period. Amen. That's what my faith tells me. You know, Brother Branham and the blind man that he prayed for, you know, Brother Doug was talking about the other day that Brother Branham had to give him something to hold on, to act about. So after he got prayed, what did he told him to do? To practice. So every day he went, you think he said, oh man, I'm still blind. No. His confession was, you know, read, you know, extra, blind can see, you know, and he made the confession. That was his practice. He was practicing. He put into work what faith told him he could have it.
Amen.
So at the end of the week, he sits in the chair of the barber, and the barber said, oh, I thought you got prayed. And then his eyes came open. But he needed to give him something to act upon that faith. See? Don't profess anything negative. What do you want? You want your family? Then you profess your family safe. That's all. Oh, but that is lying. How can it be lying when God already promised to you? God don't lie. He said, the Bible said that faith... Whoop, this I'm going to have to put... I need to put the timer. The Bible said that faith without work is dead. Just as the body without the spirit is dead. So if faith without work, we must believe in him. And and as we believe, we must act on our what? Confession. God will do the work, but we must what? You know, you are the only legs, you are the only body, you are the only eyes. You are the only one that God can use you to bring his purpose to realization. Listen, my friend. God is going to have his way. His word will not come out in vain. He's going to do it because he promised he will do it. So he says we must believe him. And as we believe, we must act on that confession. So I'm healed, and I'm going to act on that confession.
Amen.
You know, I've been through a lot of things all this year, you know, and you've been through things, but what is your confession?
Amen.
What is your faith telling you? What is God telling you? You know, if we do that, you should not be a feeble person living this, because, you know, your confession will be, I'm healed. I don't care if you go out here dragging yourself. I'm here. The blind man said, I can see. See? So faith without works, we must believe him. And as we believe, we must act in our confession. See? Because God will make sure that your body will line up with your confession. He's waiting for us. You know? He's waiting for us. We cannot say unless we really believe it.
Amen.
See, the Bible said that you cannot call Jesus Christ the Lord without the Holy Spirit. Why? Because the Holy Spirit is working your conscience. See, you have a new conscience now. When you became a new creature, your nature went away. Your spirit, I mean, it's still there, but your spirit is no longer there. You have a new spirit, you have a new mind, you have a new conscience, you know. So, he's saying is your confession, and you cannot say that God is Lord unless you have the Holy Ghost, you know. Because it's by the Holy Ghost. Unless we really believe it, see. And then, if we really believe it, then we can say it with all our hearts, and know that God answers our prayer and give us the desire of our hearts.
Amen.
When? I don't know. It took Abraham 25 years. I don't know. But he made that confession against hope. That's the confession he made. And we should do the same thing. Our faith should make the profession, the confession that God already made in heavens. You know, God cannot lie. God cannot fail you. So if I said what he said, who is going to come against it? Brother Brown says over here in Chores our Father, now we are going to pray for the letter. And now, when you get this letter, now place the handkerchief underneath your garment or pin it, you know, underneath the garment. If there's any sin in your life, you know, ask God to forgive you. You know, always keep your life pure in life, make sure it's clean, you know. If we make a mistake, just make sure we right away run to God. Not run away from God. Run to God. He will forgive you. He said, and there's any sin in your life, ask God to forgive you. And ask, if there's anything that you have done wrong, go and make it right. See, because that will stop. That will paralyze you with God. God cannot go any further until things are being taken care of. Amen. He says, if there's anything that you have done wrong, go make it right. If your pastor believes in healing, have him, see, they have many congregations. So he says, if your pastor back home, he says, have him there with you. But if there's no one, no pastor near, get some of the Christians in the neighborhood and pray and believe. And then act as he's already what? So next time I see you coming to church, you should be acting different like what you're feeling. Okay, I said again. Okay, you know, my wife asked me in the morning, how you feeling, honey? I said, good. I'm fine. Then she watched me sometime, but I'm moping and I'm because I'm hurting, see? And I made some noises, you know, I like to sometimes. But I'm sighing, actually, what I'm trying to relieve, you know. And she looks at me and says, I thought you told me you was good. I am. I don't care if every bone in my body hurts. I'm good, you know. So the groaning and I do is for sign of relief sometimes, you know. I tell her, I'm just trying to, you know, relieve. For some time it hurts. And I go, oh, you know, that's all it is. But I'm good. I'm good. And then Jesus again said in Matthew 21:21, said, Jesus answered and said unto them, verily I said unto you, if you have faith and doubt not. If you doubt, don't do it, Brother Van says. If you have any doubt about anything, don't do it, because it's not going to come out. You shall not only do this which is done to the fig tree, but also if ye shall say unto this mountain, be thou removed and be thou cast into the sea, it shall what? Be done. Amen. But that's what he says. Amen. I'm casting now mountains already. I mean, I'm older than most of you. I have lived almost most of my life. I have experienced God in many occasions. This test that I got this year, I started back in January, you know. I mean, I already went to the doctor 3 times. I was given blood the first time, the second time, and now they check for colon cancer too. I gave him more to test, and all the tests has come negative. So I don't care what my body is saying and is doing, I'm good. Period. I got to call them again so see what they want to do. Because I don't everything that I know what to do, and that is to believe God. See, I don't trust flesh. I'm not saying doctors are not good. I'm not saying... My trust is not in the flesh. My trust is in God. Amen. Period. 22. And all things whatsoever you shall ask in prayer, if you can believe, you can have it. I mean, what a deal. You cannot even lose. I mean, how can you lose? All you have to do is believe and put your faith in action. You know, one time I walked in, I was going to the Tucson Tabernacle, and I came from the back, from where they had the basketball court and then the kitchen. I was, because I park in the back, so I come through there. And I saw Gary already passed away, a dear friend of mine, brother. And And I saw Gary. I said, Gary, you look good. Wow, what are you doing? And he says, wow, you know, everybody that see me, tell me how bad I'm doing. But you're the first one that tells me, you know, that I'm doing good. Why? What will you, I mean, I don't care if he's dying. How you tell a man that he's dying? That's not going to profit nobody anything. I mean, we're supposed to off-leave. We're supposed to help. We're supposed to, you know, bring a ray of sunshine with happiness, you know. And anyway, I said it because it was in my heart. He looked to me good. I said, you look good. I said, thank you. You're the first person. Everybody I see, tell me how bad I looked. You know, how sick. Wait a minute. I moved this and I don't know where I am now. I believe, oh my goodness. I had not been in that pulpit for so long that I forget him. Okay, I think I will. Yeah, well, show the Father, is that what I am or where? Where am I? What was the last thing I was reading? Oh, 22, okay. See that afraid from. I moved this thing too fast. My finger is too fast. So, okay, all things whosoever, just shall in prayer, yes. James 2, verse 22. See thou, have faith, wrath, work. Faith and work, you know, work together with his work. They're talking about Abraham. And by works was faith made what? Perfect. It makes what? Complete. God told Abraham, be perfect as I am what? How are you going to do that? We are not perfect. But his word is perfect. God is perfect. So all we have to do is just do what God bade us to do. And if faith, you know, in us, God faith, it's not your faith. You know, let me say this right here. Faith is not of yourself. God gave you the faith for your salvation. You don't even have enough faith to go to church, to drag yourself in church and be saved. The faith that you have that saved you, the Bible said, is not of yourself. It's a gift. So you had no faith to begin with. And whatever you have now, it came from God. It's a gift of God. So if you take God, you know, faith, and you believe God, then he will produce the work. He give you the desire and the do. Yes. See, he will do the whole. In fact, we don't have to do nothing. All we have to do is just believe. And then what? Practice it. That's all. Our part is to practice. We are co-workers with God. God is the mind, you know. God is the has the plan. God is the director. God is everything. And we are the one that go. And we do. We are his hands. We are his legs. So if we are co-workers with God, then who is going to do the work? God is the spirit. God is not doing the work. God is saying he knows what needs to be done. And he needs you to do it. God needs me. That's how he set it up. I mean, I don't. Don't ask me. Why did God need me? Look at me, you know, worthless, you know. How are you going to get anything out of me? Well, yes. If you surrender you all and you get everything you have or you don't have, God can turn everything around. God can make you anything he wants you to make you. So, he make you complete. He said, and the scripture was fulfilled, which said, Abraham believed God and was imputed into him for righteousness. And he was called, what? A friend of God. So, what was the last test that Abraham faced that we know? Well, when we see Abraham at the beginning, quickly, you know, he was immature. He failed to be mature. I mean, God told him, leave your family, and I'm going to show you where to go. I'm going to show you what to do. So what is the first thing he do? Separate yourself. The word says separate. He takes his father. His faith was not even mature. And he takes his Lot with him. But later on, God has to separate them both before he came and talked to him. See, sometimes we make the wrong choices, but don't worry, God has to come down and, you know, undo. Sometimes we do things wrong, but God can use that the devil has throw at us and make it work for good to you. And Abraham's faith did not start, you know, like 100%. Then he goes to Abimelech, you know, and he had a plan, you know, with his wife. Tell Abimelech that you are my blah, 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 blah. That's no sign of maturity. That was sign of somebody that's scared. That was... But this is now, it comes to the end now. You know, the relationship with Abraham and God, and that continuing relationship, he kept growing and he kept maturing. Now we come to almost, he's 125 or even, he was almost 100, and 25 years later he have he's 125. So he's more than 125 by now, about 150, 140. And he's the last test. You know, I'm 75, almost. I'm 74, but the more older I get, you know, I'm getting to my big test. You know why? Because God knows I can pass him now. Now, if he would have given me this test when I was 40 or 50, I don't know if I could have made it. I would have complained. But see, God knows where you are, and God knows what you need, and he knows exactly what to give you. He customized all these things for you, all these tests. Why? Because it's not going to send something that is going to break you. And with the test, the answer will come with the temptation. So, he matured enough that continued relationship with God, coming to church and having faith in God and claiming God. And God was healing him and he was his strength. He was everything. His savior. But with time, you know, that faith and work, what it do? It make you more mature and you start growing. So he got to the last, because after that I don't hear no more about Abraham facing nothing else. So I'm saying, you know, if you be patient, you probably get to be my age and you might get to your last. God is going to test you until he gets what he needs out of you. So Abraham matured as part of this continued relationship with God, and he said offering Isaac was the ultimate test. And when he said that to Abraham, I want you to do this, you think Abraham turned around and he made any face expression, so he says, why? See, he already had mature faith, put it into work, into practice. The more we do it and the more it comes along, the more got the next test and the next test. And one of these days, you don't know, but you're maturing. You are getting perfect because every time you do what the word says, you are perfect because the word is perfect. Once the word realizes in your life, that's God. That's perfection. So that was his ultimate test of faith. So what I'm trying to say is that maybe you are in a position that maybe you are not feeling like, you know, you are perfect or you know, you're failing. But see, we are in different stages of faith in life. But Abraham got to his last one, you know, and maybe, you know, you guys, one of these days you get to your last one if we stay here long enough in this earth, but God don't come, but, you know, I'm getting closer to my last one. So he didn't complain. He didn't murmur. He didn't look back. He didn't make no expression. He just told Isaac, get the wood and let's go. He didn't question God. And he moved. Now, when we get to that faith, that's the faith that God wants to bring us. You know why? Because that's what the fivefold ministry is here, to bring you to what? To perfection. Perfection is that God said it, you do it, and it's over. That's it. When you start doing that in your life, then you know you're growing and you're being perfect because God is perfect. His word is perfect. So you can measure where you are. Now, I'm not saying that, you know, we are all in the same. You know, we're different. So what I'm saying, in your own life, I don't care how small or how big, God speaks to you. God speaks to you, boys, girls, and you young people. God is speaking to all. You know, I put myself in that category. You don't have to. So whatever relationship you are, whatever connection you got with God today, it doesn't matter if your test is not my test. In fact, if God give you my test, you might don't pass it. You know, my test is my test. See? And when God give you a test, you should be happy. You know, count it all what?
Joy.
See, that is your work. Because God is doing something that's going to benefit you. See, God is bringing something out of you that you don't even know is in you. But the more that relationship grows and the more you fall in love and the more you understand, you come like Abraham at the end, no questions asked. What do you want, God? You got it. I do it. When you get to that point, then you know you get into some perfect material. And this is what I wanted to get tonight, that will determine, you know, your measurement of perfection. You can examine yourself and you can tell me how much you are obeying, how much you are doing what God said for you to do at school. Children, you, young people, you have a lot of challenge and you have to make a decision right then. You're going to do it or not. But you know what the Bible says, and you know you believe this message. So what are you going to do? I know you're going to do the right things. But that's God testing you, and continuously. And the more he tests you and the more you pass, the more perfect you get. That's what happened to Abraham. Faith matured as part of the continuing relationship with God. Abraham offering Isaac was the ultimate test of faith. And he passed it. Brother Brand says, and I'm almost done here. Let's see, I got a few things. And God appeared to him when he was 99 and said, Abraham, walk before me and be what? Perfect. Just think, at 100 years old, and he told him what was going to take place. Say, all the nation will be blessed in you because that you are going to. I'm going to give you a son by Sarah. Now think, 100 years old. And then the Bible says that. But you see, just because God came and talked to him at the beginning, right here, at that point, he wasn't mature enough. What did he do? Well, Sarah said, why don't you take Hagar? Big mistake. We don't start perfect, friends. You don't start 100%, but we want to get there. Don't get disappointed if you fail. Just move forward next time. Pass the test. Abraham didn't start at, you know, hitting all the good things right. Brother Brown said, faith without work is dead. So listen, closely. Now, as we read the word, was not Abraham, our father, justified by work when he had offered Isaac his son upon the altar? See, thou how faith with his work and by work, by faith, was made perfect. Every time you believe God, every time you have faith, and every time you put your body to work and it happens, that's perfection. Every time we do that, it says, Brabham says, and the scriptures fulfill, Abraham believed. See, he said, with works and by works, with faith, is made perfect. God is trying to take you from glory to glory to glory to glory. Now you know how he's taking you from glory to glory to glory. God speaks and you do and you come out perfect. Okay, next one. And the scripture fulfilled which says, Abraham believed God and it was imputed unto him righteousness, and he was called the friend of God. You see, then how by the works a man is justified and not by faith only. Likewise also was Rahab, the harlot, justified by work, when she received the messengers and then sent them out another way. For as the body without the spirit is dead. Well, let me read you another one here. My commission, 35, he says, I want to read some, now all you with faith and you are afraid to put it to work. But that will happen to those 10 spies. They didn't have no faith. Because if they have faith like Joshua and Caleb, they would have put it to work. They would have said, let's go. Let's do it right now. Why? Because they believed God to begin with, and then they wanted to put it in action. They wasn't going to sit around to see what was going to happen. No, God said it. Let's do it. Now, the other ones were afraid. Don't be afraid. Like brother been preaching and being afraid. Now, if you're afraid to put it to work, it won't do you any good. Why? Why not just lay aside everything that is unlike faith? Believe and act on what you believe. Not what you feel. He says, or what your senses bear witness of. See? But what your faith bear witness of, is that right? You have faith in God and then act like you have faith in God. Now, Abraham says, I got faith in God, but was afraid to offer his son Isaac, but was afraid to, then his faith was no good. Paul justified Abraham by faith. Paul was talking about what God seen in Abraham. But James justified him by works. James was talking about what man sees in Abraham. God sees faith, man sees work. That's all it is, because man cannot see faith, but he can see your works. But James justified by work. James was talking about his man's, okay, God sees your faith, man sees your work. And if you say you have faith and are afraid to step out and make works out of it, then it don't do no good. It will never do you any good. See, you have to believe it. You have to accept it. And you have to act like it. So, Sunday we're all going to come happy. I don't care if my this hurt and that hurt. How you doing, brother? Well, doing wonderful. Now, how's your family? Oh, man, they all serving the Lord. I know they're not, but you asked your confession. Come on. Do you want to confess something negative or something positive? I mean, if we confess the word of God, at least God is powerful enough to bring it to pass. Yes. But listen, the only thing a man can bring, I don't care the best thing a man or woman can do in the eyes of God, is filthy rags. So what are you going to think and plan to do that is going to come out right? I tried it for many years. I did, I lost and undone. I had a lot of plans and I had a lot of ways and I was going to do this and that and the other. Well, life throws you curves because you cannot see life completely from end to end. God can see from end to end and he can change things anytime he wants to. See, but you only can see, you know, as far as your nose. That's all. And you start planning, and I'm going to do this, and I'm going to do that, and suddenly everything collapsed, and you're depressed, and you're upset because things did not work out. Well, I would tell you, it was not going to work out because life is too complex. There's so many variables. I mean, and you have to consider the other person that you don't know what he's thinking. You think you're going to go to that person and do say, and then when you get there, well, I cannot go with you. I got some other, appointment, so I got something else. And you think, well, tomorrow I'm going to talk to him or her, and I'm going to go, and we're going to do this. Well, there they go. See, and that's just one other person. Can you imagine if you start putting more person? It gets worse because you don't know. He said, God sees faith, man sees work. He says, you got to accept it. Wow. You got to accept it. He did it again. It's gone from me. I'm going to find it. You got to accept it and you got to act like it. So, Brother Brown said, with that little sister was in the kitchen and she was frying. I hate frying because you get burned all the time. I like to cook, but I hate frying because I get all that all over you and you lose your eyebrows and everything else. And then, so I let my wife do the frying. So, you know, that drop of oil or whatever, lard or whatever it was, you know, got it in the hand and what it, move on. See? That's what the church needs. Hearing, receiving, and acting. Hearing, receiving, and acting. That's what the church needs. We hear it. We recognize it, but we are afraid to go into action. And that's what happened to those. They made so many excuses. They made more excuses than, you know, because they were afraid. That's what the matter with the sick. Last night here, well, the Holy Spirit was baptizing the place over. I said, put your hands in one another. You, how many believers? And everybody probably, everyone put out their hands. Lay hands on one another. Then you are to go into action after that. Once your brother pray and lay hands on you, you should go into action. So after I pray for you, I'm going to ask you, how are you feeling? Oh, I'm wonderful. Peachy. Everything looks good. You know? Even if you're blind and you cannot see, still. It says, everyone put their hands, lay hands on another. Then you ought to go into action after that. Praise God. Just step right on and say, this is it. Go in action. That's all. You said, well, I had to take many pills. Oh, well, you know, you did, but not now. See, go into action. Believe with all your heart. Just keep on going. No stop in place. Can we stand? So, talk is cheap. You can talk all you want to. But if you don't act upon anything, all that stuff is cheap, it's dead, it's nothing. You can tell me I'm a young lady and I believe this message. Then you should act and you should dress and you should converse and you should do the things that you said you believe by faith. If not, then you don't believe, period. That's how simple it is. The same thing with young and the older, you know. And that's what I said. If people believe that this is God ordained and this is how God set it up, this is God's plan, then where are they? You know? What is the action? So that tells me, I don't understand. I might as well leave it there. Anyway, just leave it there. We have beat that horse to death for many times. So, faith will produce good behavior. Faith will produce, you know, help in times of need for some other. Help will be kind to one another. If you say that you believe that God will produce that in your life, then what is it? Just show it to me. Show it to me. How are you going to show it? By your works. Well, I believe in church, and I believe in going to church, and I believe in praying, and I will. Well, show me. That don't mean coming to church is going to save you. But we do it because that's what faith says to me to do. Amen. You understood? It was simple enough to put it to work? Amen. So, don't be afraid. Don't be afraid. If God speaks to you, just walk into it. Just cut loose. Do it. Because if it's God, he will bring it to pass. But he needs someone to believe it and someone to do it. And you cannot live a life. If you believe this message, there's not only one Holy Spirit. And if you believe this message, it has to produce the same thing in me that it produces in you. If it's not producing that, there's something wrong. Because you cannot tell me after all these 70-some years and all these 40 years in this message, You know, I have produced this much. And you tell me I'm wrong right now? It cannot be two Holy Ghosts. So what I'm trying to say is, by your conduct, you know, I know your faith, the way you believe, and you move, and you act, we know. All I'm trying to say is, let's check our life. If it don't line up with our faith, then let's find out what's wrong with it. That's all. Amen. Let us pray. Father, we thank you. We love you. And thank you for your word tonight. Father, we all want to see you. Father, we all, Jesus said, you know, I only do what I see my Father doing, and that's what we want. We want to walk, not an empty walk. We want to walk that you are in that walk with us, Father. In fact, without you, there's no walk. Father, every day, Father, we need to see what you want me to do in this situation. Then just look at his word, then look at God and what God will do. Tell us. God will inspire us. God will reveal to us. God has enough confidence in what he has put in us that he knows that he can count on us. Sometimes we fail. Sometimes we're weak. Sometimes we are down, but Father, but we are not out. We just get up and move on and continue the journey. We make mistakes sometimes, wrong choices. But we ask you to forgive us, and you are quick to forgive. And then we can move on again. And then we can just wait, Father. Sometimes some of us, we are too impatient, too impetuous. We make decisions and we plan and we do in the moment, you know, without praying. Or sometimes we pray, well, if God wants me to do this, then it will come out. If not, then it will not come out. That's not how we run our lives. Either will work or either will not work. We need to look, pray. And as that revelation comes, that inspiration comes, we need to have faith. Even if it's contrary, usually it is. Sometimes we think God is going to do certain things and God to do it a different way. But it doesn't matter how it comes. If it's God, that's what we want to do. Father, we love you and we thank you for calling us, Father. This is not something that I wanted to belong to and I decided to join. You called me, Father. You formed, knew me. You predestined me. And you are going to finish the work that you started in me. I just need to surrender my life to you and do that you are begging me to do, Father. It doesn't matter how insignificant it looks like or how sometimes unbelievable it looks. If you beg us to do it, Father, we can. We want to do it. Father, we ask you tonight that you will be with our pastor. We already pray, and Jennifer, we ask you to be with this congregation as well. They're going home, Father. Father, as we approaching tomorrow, another day, if it's another day, Father, help us to put in practice. Brother Van said, put in practice what we hear. If we don't put in practice what we hear, you don't do it no good to nobody. So help us to practice what we hear, Father. If it is faith in there, God will allow you to practice. He will give you the desires and the ways to do things. Because God has called you for a purpose and he's trying to finish that purpose. And he already foreordained this, he already foreknew you and he already know what kind of work you have to go through, Father. Maybe we are different tests, different works, but we all got to. Father, we love you tonight and thank you for allowing us to be here.
Father, thank you for being in your presence, Father, to hear your word, Father. It's a time that we're living that people don't even care much about your word. It's a famine in the land for the hearing of the world. Here we are. Here we are. We got the true word of God restored completely. We don't have no excuses, Father, to not to do it. Because we are claiming we have the true word of God being restored and revealed to us. So what kind of people should we be? Father, help us to think about these things. Father, help us to meditate on these things as we go to our homes and tomorrow, Father. And help us to always, Father, choose you in every situation. Choose you, Father. Father, the Bible said not to lean to our own understanding. Father, our mind cannot produce nothing good. And what comes out of the heart of a man is not, Father. We want to have the mind of God. That's why Paul says that he lived by faith. And it's not on his, it's not on itself. It wasn't his faith. But it's the faith of our Lord Jesus Christ, he says. That's why we have to live every day as much as we can, Father. It's not our faith. Show us, Father. Show us what you want us to do. And we'll be careful to do it, Father. Father, thank you again for allowing us to be here together as a congregation, to have fellowship around your word, and have fellowship around my brothers and sisters. Now keep them, Father. Bless them, Father. Protect them, Father. And if there is another Sunday, Father, we are more than happy and glad to, when they said unto me, let us go back to the house of the Lord. Father, you are going to have a bride, regardless. It will be a bride without spot, without ring. It will be a people that will exactly do what you said they will do, like Jesus Christ. That we have your nature, that we have your character. Father, you cannot speak and nothing to happen. Nothing happens. Father, you spoke already in heaven and it shall be done in earth. You're waiting on your people to speak, to act, to move on that word. That's why we need to profess that word and act upon. So your word will be fulfilled in earth as it's been spoken. Thank you once again, Lord. Thank you and thank you. We appreciate you. We love you. And we ask you all these things in the lovely name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen and amen. Well, it was nice to be in the pulpit again. Thank you for your love and your kindness, and thank you for your good thoughts and help and everything that you have given us, and you know, cards and cards to go and eat and eat more and eat some more cards. And I appreciate you guys, and listen, you get your reward in heaven at least. Because nothing you do for one child of God is going to be unnoticed, but God keep track. So I appreciate, and my wife, we appreciate all your lovely thoughts about us, and thank you for your prayers. Mainly, thank you for all your prayers. We're going to get through this, and we're going to learn, and we're going to get through it again if we have to, and we're going to help you, and we're going to help each other. We are going to get through. And one of these days, we will be our last test. Can't wait. So, wait, come on, man. Don't let me. You don't come and keep talking. Come on. I was going to sing, but I don't, you know. I